In case you haven't heard, it's officially an Abercrombie summer. The A&F Vacation Shop has everything on your packing mood board. I desperately need their new one piece, the A&F Marina. It's strapless, so flattering, and paired with denim shorts will be my go-to beach outfit this summer. Finally, your suitcase isn't complete without finding that dress. You know, the one for the photo shoot. Abercrombie's boho dresses have that perfect beachy romantic look. Make it an Abercrombie summer. Shop their newest arrivals in-store, online, and in the app.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. My name is Ton Dobbe and I'm the founder of Value Inspiration and the author of The Remarkable Effect. I envision a world where every B2B SaaS startup succeeds because they're creating software that customers would miss if they were gone. And here's why. Research consistently shows that 90% of all startups fail, and that's bad. What's worse, however, is that 75% of SaaS scale-ups fail. Companies that are supposed to have product market fit. Far too few scale-ups create the traction they aspire for and fail for the wrong reasons. And I believe this should stop. And hence I created my business. And the goal that I have with this podcast is twofold. First, to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential that we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. Secondly, share experiences from tech entrepreneurs like you about what it requires to create a remarkable software business and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so. The guest of my podcast this week is Angelo Coletta, CEO and co-founder of Zakeke.
I want to create a company that was totally based on a long-tail vision. And so this is one of the most difficult choices to do when you start, because it means
to
burn more money in the first years of the companies. My opinion is that if you don't start as a long tail business, it's difficult to transform a company with 200, 300 big customers in a company able to serve thousands of customers, maybe most of them small guys, no?
This is Angelo. He's a serial entrepreneur who has founded and exited multiple companies. In 2017, he co-founded Zakeke, a visual commerce platform. It's doing groundbreaking work in transforming the B2B customer journey and shopping experience. And with this focus, it's now serving over 10,000 e-commerce brands worldwide across more than 400 industries. And their mission? To improve the industry's environmental footprint through the use of technology in the display process, the shopping, and the purchasing experience. And that inspired me. And hence I invited Angelo to my podcast. We explore how the shopping experience is still broken today and why. Angelo shares how he is building an organization to fix this and shares anecdotes around his lessons learned in choosing the right team, fostering a culture of innovation, and setting ambitious long-term goals. He then elaborates on creating resilience across the business, customer-focused product development, and how strategic acquisitions and investment in ecosystem help them scale the business. And by listening to this podcast, you will learn four things. Firstly, why to have a global mindset from day one. Secondly, why to focus on product excellence first before you consider a marketing push. Thirdly, what Angelo specifically prioritizes when it comes to hiring the right people that will help the company grow in good times and tough times. And lastly, the strategies that he applied to establish trust and leverage their growth opportunity via the e-commerce ecosystem. Well, hi, Angelo. Thank you for making the time available today and being the guest on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure for me to stay here chatting with you.
Yeah, well, it's a topic that I think dear to the heart of many people, you know, shopping online. And what I liked when I saw what you're doing is your approach around it, the whole push towards the visual side of it. So, in my preparation, I learned a couple of impressive things about what you've done so far. And hence, I really wanted to have you on the podcast to kind of go through the story a little bit. But before we start talking about your company, Zakeke, a little bit about you. What drives you? What gives you energy as an entrepreneur?
Oh, that's a nice question. I think that, you know, I was born with this energy because I've started when I was really young guy to try to create my independence, first of all. And what I like is to imagine things and try to transform imagination into reality. And there's something that I love is that imagination is without borders. And so it's nice that you can try to imagine your business life like an incredible and adventure route. And so this is a very powerful motivation for me. And on the other side, I love to create teams. So I created many companies in my life, and I have sold them to multinational company with a lot of
satisfaction.
But one of the most important things for me is to choose the right guys for doing that specific adventure and try to coach them, to learn from them, and to win all together. So, and it's emotionally interesting. Yeah, so many times people say for money, yeah, money is one of the metric, but I think that the satisfaction comes more from people than not from money.
Completely agree, and especially also in the startup scene and bringing those companies to a scale-up situation.
Yeah.
You know, if money is the only motivator, you're going to be worn out pretty fast. I like your style around that. And I think it's a good bridge to your company. You started Sakeke in 2017, I saw, January.
Yeah, and see, yeah, we've started in 2017. In the reality, we spent 1 year to start the company, to find the right people to start. And so, you know, the real start is 1 year later, but, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what always inspires me is what was the problem that you saw back then, 2017, that was just screaming for something new and you maybe couldn't find it?
Well, it was many years that I was observing some, you know, mega trends that in my mind, everyday stuff means something more. Yeah. One big trend was that the robotization of many industries was changing a lot the layout of plant and was given the possibility to many industry to realize customized product at the same cost of mass products. No, so it was a big change in terms of capacity of the industry to transform themselves like in an artisan. No? On the other side, there is a big trend in the society of, you know, visual sign for telling something about you. No? I say that when you stay on a beach sign now, you can see everyone with tattoos. So people start talking about themselves with tattoos, not with words. So signs are going to be important. And people want to feel, you know, special, and not only with dresses, but with signs. And the third thing, brands are looking for, you know, how they can improve their experience, the customer experience in the omnichannel journey. So I say, okay, if this is true, and on the other side, there are some technologies that are finally mature to be used in the Web3 space, like, you know, 3D rendering, AI, 3D low poly, and many other small stuff like this, AR, probably is the time to create what I call a visual layer that works like an empowerment of the experience of the product page. And so my idea is that after the big revolution that we had in the last 30 years, you know, maybe the first e-commerce website looks like, you know, one photo, one price, and then you have to start praying to understand the way they have to deliver the product to you, the way to pay. And now we have an incredible ecosystem of services around the product page now. Hundreds of photos, 360 photo, ratings and review, lovely description, a lot of possibility to, you know, refund, the many way to pay. You know, so an incredible ecosystem has provided us the e-commerce as now we know. So the next steps in my life, in my vision, is that the next step is the visual layer. Now we can have a product page where you can interact with the product, you can visualize it, maybe you can see in AR, maybe you need to customize it, maybe you need to, you know, say in your room, or maybe you have to try on yourself, look at try on technologies. So this kind of experience, in my opinion, will be a commodity in the next 15 years. And yeah, this big change is not only in the e-commerce space, but is in the commerce space too, in the physical store too. And what is happening is that the e-commerce space is offering experience that look like a physical experience. And okay, so they look like more physical stores for something that now you can do inside the e-commerce space with the visual layer. And on the other side, in the physical store, you can provide a piece of the digital experience to different, you know, devices that helps transforming the store in something more proactive and more dynamic in front of the customers. And so,
okay,
I want to do this job. I think it's a big revolution, and I want to create the champions in this niche that is growing very fast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I heard you, I was listening to one of your podcasts on cloud realities, and you were talking about the ultimate shopping experience. I think you've perfectly highlighted already what is going to be part of that.
Yeah.
Or what is maybe already part of that. But I think, the, like you say in the beginning, your imagination is is the limitation here. And that's fascinating.
Yeah. And it's nice that, you know, 5-6 years ago, we had think about that. Now we have 10,000 customers all around the world that are using our platform for providing different pieces of this experience in many channels, and maybe all together, you know, from small guys, because another things I want to offer this technology like a democratic layer for everyone. So if you're small, you have to pay a small amount of money. If you are big, you can pay more. No, so we have created a long-term business that works very well.
Okay, well, I indeed saw your webpage, and I saw also your pricing structure, and I got some questions around that later on in the conversation. So, there's a big opportunity. I completely see that. I like how you go about it and looking at the big trends in the marketplace, not only at the industry level, but also about the how people want to express themselves and what is important to kind of bridge the gap between that. So then you start in 2017, and you said there's a number of technologies that are coming. Yeah, they're mature enough to make all of this happen. Possibly there's even too many choices out there. So what always intrigues me is, okay, how did you start? Like what was an important decision you took early on that appeared to be pretty important for the success that you've got today?
Oh, I think that we have made three big strategic choices. First one was that we are an Italian company, but we have decided to be global from the day one. That's why, for example, we have the Italian website too. Yeah. And it was nice because in this moment we have customers in 135 different countries. So we decided to be global from the day one, to have a global mindset, to accept the global competition and try to improve the company to become a global champion. First of all. Second, it was long tail business. There were many, many different approach to this market. You can start maybe from the high part of the market. Maybe you can start from the small guys to have more than. But my opinion is that because I think that this kind of layer, it will be a commodity in 15 years. So I think that everyone would be used a part of visual layers in the future. I want to create a company that was totally based on a long tail vision. And so this is one of the most difficult choices to do when you start, because it means to burn more money in the first years of the companies. And so it was a big choice, because my opinion is that if you don't start as a long tail business, it's difficult to transform a company with 200, 300 big customers in a company able to serve thousands of customers, maybe most of them small guys, no? And so this is and a very important child. The third thing is that we have decided from the day one to have a software architecture, looking at the principle of the Mac Alliance. So we are totally cloud-based, microservices-based, API first. And so all the platform is created to be a component, because in my vision, there is a piece of go-to-market that is made by Zakiq as a brand, as a platform, but there is another piece of market that comes from agreement where Zakiq is a part of other solution, or maybe it's a component of other solution. And for doing that, you need to have a super flexible architecture in your software. Is another big choice to do, because for doing that, you have to spend more time and more effort in terms of, you know, how you are going to create your architecture. But at the end of the game, you have the advantage to have something that have less time to be updated and more flexibility for your strategy in the future. Yeah. And this is the three main pillar of what we have done when we started and the decision that we have made.
I see how they're all connected to each other in terms of how they strengthen each other. And I mean, they have been good choices from the start. What you already highlighted here is that it made the start a little harder. That's what I also saw in the point when I was researching about you. I saw that there were a couple of remarks about the struggle to get funding and to get the right employees working for you. So how did you overcome that beginning to get the traction?
Oh, what we have done is for the first 3 years, we haven't spent a lot of marketing, maybe nothing. We have just created a plugin for the most important marketplace like Shopify, Magento, PrestaShop, Wix, BigCommerce, many others. And so we use like an organic deal flow, because my vision is that in this case, product is the king. So first of all, before pushing the product, you have to be sure that the product is solid. And so I slowed down the marketing activities for the 2-3 years, working hard on the product with a lot of release. You know, we release update every month, maybe every 45 days. And so the product is grown a lot. And there was a moment when I said, okay, now the product is solid and big enough to be start pushing. Mm-hmm. Our traction was very good because customers are happy. And at the end of the day, the word of mouth is the best fuel for your marketing activities.
Let me make a small interruption here. Angelo just made a critical remark that underpins their growth formula. Be patient. It's not enough to just have customers. You need fans. People that start talking about your product and keep talking about it. Having patience to wait for that moment pays dividends in any marketing push that you plan after that. It's a trait remarkable SaaS companies master. They realize that they cannot please everyone. Create something valuable and desirable and aim to be different, not just better. Pulling that together fuels momentum. And you can master these traits as well. And the first step? Simply read my book. I've made the electronic version available for free. Just visit theremarkableeffect.com to grab your copy, and inspiration will spark within 10 minutes. Back to the interview.
And I'm sure, you know, we are leader in the Gartner Quadrant for, you know, 2 years at the moment. So I'm sure that my colleagues have done a very good job in terms of product quality, and we are, you know, reaching the result of this job, making our customers happy. And when the customers are happy, they want to stay with you for a long time. And what is interesting in the meanwhile, we are like a Tesla. Now you are buying a software, well, maybe a car, but we are providing you new feature, new things every 1-2 months. And so you know that you are in a place where things happen. Yeah. So you don't need to care to go around. You know, you stay in a place because you know that things comes inside your platform before many times you are thinking about that. And this is the goal of the company. Try to be one step before the others, and in terms of the product roadmap.
Exactly. So your bet was on ecosystem and like working with the right e-commerce platforms who already, of course, have a customer base and whereby your product could easily be turned on to get the experience going, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's very
simple. How does that work? I mean, how did that word of mouth go on those platforms? Was it pushed by the vendors itself? Was it pushed by consultants?
Yeah, no. What is happening is then generally, you know, you start having a good ratings and review. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone talk about you in the blog and say, okay, yeah, I've used the kick. It works very nice. Maybe let's try it. You know, something like that. And, you know, and customer by customer, this word of mouth work better. For sure, we spend now that the company became bigger for sure and is scaling up faster. We have a marketing budget too. We spend on LinkedIn, we spend on Google, we spend on YouTube, you know. But the piece of what we do in this case is like working on the up funnel, just, you know, to spread more the fact that we are in the market for this job. But the trust process is based more on word of mouth, because people, after knowing you, say, okay, what do people say about this company? You know, I have a friend maybe, or maybe an agent, they know them. Okay, and after that, okay, let me check the product. But they need a bit of trust, you know. For sure, you have a lot of very recognizable customers. You know, we have a lot of small guys, but we have big brands like, you know, HP, Valentino, Armani, Testoni, Colmar, Zippo, Uber Eats, Ubisoft.
Yeah.
So fortunately, we have a lot of customer well known in the market. So, you know, we can first of all say, okay, guys, you know, we have 10,000 customers worldwide, but, you know, we have a lot of customers, you know, not so famous, but we have big brands too that are working with us. So it's a piece of trust that we can spend on the market.
But that's the interesting part about it, because you decided on that your second pillar was long tail.
Yeah.
Virtually everybody that has an e-commerce website should be able to use this technology, sure, to visualize, yeah, to bring
visualize,
their product alive.
Customize, yeah, sure.
But you could, of course, also go after a couple of those big brands that inspire others to say, hey, wait a minute, what they're doing is so cool. I want to have that.
Sure.
As well.
For the big brands, we have, you know, some services more. There's an account basis. There is a cloud dedicated for these brands. You know, they can provide super performance. But in any case, the platform is the same. They are only like a plug-in services just for brand. For example, if you have big brands, you have to make a setup of 3,000 products and the configurator. Now, we provide an AI layer that can help us to make this job that takes thousands of hours, just maybe in a few hours using AI prompt inside the platform. So there are some specific tools, or maybe the big brands need to be connected if with the ERP. No, so we provide them, you know, plugin for SAP, for many others, ERP. Yeah. So for them, it's simple to put Zakek inside a business process that, for sure, it's bigger and a big company. You know, maybe they have different plans, and so they need to send the print file in different place. So there is a lot of specific needs for the big companies that the platform provide, and there is a version, enterprise version, that is dedicated to the big guys.
Yeah, understand. I see that you're pretty much following a product-led growth type strategy.
Yeah. I can tell you that exactly, probably we are an ecosystem-led growth company.
Yeah.
Product is the center of everything, but we have different channel for different segments of the market. So what I exactly say that is an ecosystem-led growth company with the product on the center.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's a little bit of a mix of both. You also have an enterprise route, of course. How do you see that going forward? Do you see that ecosystem-led growth approach grow? Or do you see a separate motion next to that as well?
No, I think that the ecosystem is growing and the company is growing inside the ecosystem. Yeah. I think that the growth rate, it would be stable and maybe it will become bigger in the next years. The market is yet in the early stage. Many managers doesn't know yet how simple it could be change a lot of their strategy using a platform like Zagiken. And so they have to learn how to use the new layer. And so the market is in the early stage of growth. So I'm sure that the market will be really bigger than now in 3-4 years.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's where you have your advantage, because you got your engine in the ecosystem already going.
Yeah, sure.
From history, that is, it's a pretty tough task to get an ecosystem going, because these people, of course, are not reporting to you. They have their own products, their own objectives. And sure. This is just added to it. How did you overcome that? How did you get it going? How did you overcome that challenge of making your product a priority in their day-to-day activities?
Inside my company or in the company?
In the ecosystems that you're using.
Yeah. Many times, people, when start talking about a software like that, maybe someone make a simplification. So you are a 3D configurator. I say, you are a 2D configurator. I say, yes, it's like if you go to a car producer, say, so you produce car. Yeah, sure, okay. But you can produce a small car or a Tesla. You can produce a Mercedes or a Fiat. No? So what we try to do is to be innovative in what we do. So I say that we are the Tesla in this world. And that means many things, many choices. And so you can exactly have a clear idea how you are partnering with us and not with maybe one of our competitors. So there are many topics that we can list to our partner to explain why it's better to work with us and maybe not with another one. Okay. And I feel really comfortable on that because we have a lot of arguments.
Good. Which one are the most important?
First of all, we are really a self-provisioning solution. So, for example, many say that they are, but they are not. We are really plug-and-play solution. So, for example, they can tell to their customers, they can immediately start a project without spending 12 months for startup a project inside the company. Maybe they can do it 1 week, maybe in 1 day sometimes, okay? So they can provide speed to the companies they are working with them. And the other side, we are trustable because we have use case in 400 different verticals. And so we can provide to an agency, to a partner, always a use case that is exactly the use case of the company they are working with. Third, we are transparent, so we are a global player, transparent. We have thousands of customers, and you can see, which is the rating, the average rating that we have. So you can be sure with us that your customer will be happy, and for a partner, the first thing is that I don't want to lose my face providing a technology to my customer. So, and after that, we are incredibly flexible. Our platform is written all in all React in the front end. So, for example, any agency can provide a different front end to their customer without any maintenance cost from our side. And so they can be flexible. They can make a job in a simple way. They can charge the money they want on that. We don't take money on that. Yeah. And sure, if a customer maybe thinks that for doing a total UI done for them, it will cost 30K, it's not enough, but maybe they spend only 2 days for doing this job because our software is very simple to manage in this case. And many other things like, AI that can provide, but we provide a lot of small tips that are totally necessary for some specific verticals.
Exactly. No, I mean, I like your anecdotes on that because it brings alive what it means to be a platform player and the deliberate choice you have to make where others might be able to offer the same, but they're just doing it in a different way. And that at the end means
you look the same, but you're not. This is the reality.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So looking at on the last 7 years or so, what has been the hardest nut to crack in order to break through that initial growth?
Financial aspect, first of all. Because if you are able to create a good team, if you have a clear vision of what you want to do, maybe you can be sure that you are going to create something that could work. Yeah. But you need time, the people cost, the marketing cost. And so you have to balance the time that you need with the cash that you have. So managing the financial plan is the most important activity in the first years of a startup or a scale up. Because after that, it was a bit simpler to manage, you know, because maybe you have 100, at the moment we are 60 guys, no? So you have many costs you can manage in the future if you need to, know to set up something. But when you start and you need your first 15 guys, you have to pay your 15 guys without a product online, without any income. Yeah. Then if you need to wait to push your product because it's a piece of the strategy, you have to lose money because you have to do this. And so you have to balance your financial needs and you have to have the right cash for doing the job that you are planning to do.
Exactly. So how did you overcome that? Because what I learned is that only in October 2023, which is not too long ago, you got your first round of funding. But that was already where you had product market fit, where you had a lot of customers already. This is really, I think, the scale.
Yeah, it's not the only one. Yeah, we have done another one before. But, you know, fortunately, we have sold different company in our life. So we have started our money and then we opened to an investor. And, you know, we have a good credibility. So maybe some banks has helped us when we have started, you know. But in any case, because I was born poor, so I know what is managing financial problems. Okay. So in any case, not important how big is the money that you need. What is important is that the cash that you have to be the cash that you need. 100K or 100 millions, the problem is the same.
Yeah, true. That's very wise how you say that, because we always think we need more, and that's not the case. It's what you, dealing with what you have to deal with. And I think that goes back also to your initial point about what drives you and what gives you energy. It's that imagination to create something within the constraints that you have.
Yeah, sure. The constraints are, you know, like the rules of the game, that they make the rules more interesting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, that's where the innovation starts to happen. One of the things that I also saw from your profile and reading a little bit about you is that you've also made a choice, and I'm not sure exactly when it was, but you acquired this company, Future Fashion, where you made a decision, okay, I'm not going to build, I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
What drove that?
Yeah, they were our partners, so I know them very well. Mm. And they were like a system integrators that has created a small meta product about the 3D DAM. So I told them, hey guys, do you want to transform yourself in a piece of product company? If you are interested in that, I can invest and buy you for transforming your meta product in a piece of product of the KKF. So we are going to change your mindset and your goal. And that's what we have done.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I come from Unit 4 and we acquired a lot of companies in the past, both companies in the legacy space to get access to a particular market and later on also technology.
Yeah, yes. Get an advantage. Sometimes it could be, you know, a marketing opportunity. In this case, it would be, you know, how to speed the creation of a piece of product that we have in our mind. It's okay, we can buy them and it can be faster because a piece of that, it was there. We are only to, make some new rules on that and transform the company in a product company.
Yeah, exactly. So what did you learn from that?
Every time you make an acquisition, the first problem is culture.
Yes, exactly.
Because if you are doing that, you have found an agreement about, roles and money, et cetera, et cetera. But culture is something that everyone is in his mind. And so there is a piece of job that you have to do to create the same culture in two different organizations. Sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes need a bit of time. Sometimes it could be, like an L. No, so it depends. In this case, fortunately, I need a bit of time, but it was okay. In any case, culture is the most important aptitude that you have to manage when you have done an acquisition.
Yeah. Well, not only that, because what you also said in the beginning, you know, bringing the right people together to do this particular adventure, that word.
Yeah, it's like a receipt. You know, you don't need salt for something that don't need salt. It's a good ingredient, but sometimes it's not usable. And so the same things in the company.
Exactly. Have you got a framework for that? Because since you've, of course, also done some funding, your company, of course, grows from 15 people then to 30 and then to 60 and who knows where it goes. But that culture is like you say, a very fundamental piece. How do you maintain the right culture?
First of all, I try to don't hide what I call a yes butter. Yeah. Yes butter doesn't work. Yes butter is someone say, okay, Jacob, what do you think about that? It could be a good idea. Yes, but there's a lot of, you know, motivation for not doing that. So first of all, you need people that are the wine author. So okay, one thing about that. Oh, then why not? Let's try. Yeah, because it's people that is moving the company. Maybe we'll make a mistake with them, but they have the idea to make things. Second, I try to tell exactly that's what we are and what we don't want to be. For example, we are a Marines. We are not soldier. So if you feel comfortable to be a soldier, it's not the place to stay. You don't need to stay in a startup. You have to go in a company with 1,000 of guys where you can stay in some, you know, desk undercover. Maybe then anyone can understand if you are good or not in making your job. We are Marines. You have to know weapons. You have to love to fight. You have to enjoy to fight. If you feel like that, this is a wonderful place to stay. If not, let's stay at home. Let's stay in another place. So I try to be very straight on that. So I can immediately say to people, hey, this is a place where if you love work, if you love problems, you are enjoying because there is an incredible team. You can perform yourself with a lot of intelligent people, so it's very nice. But if you're a quiet guy, you don't love pressure, don't come here. For you, it would be an hell, because people, and after maybe 15 days, no one will talk with you because you are too, you are not so fast, you are not so interesting. So you will feel like an apartheid for you. So it's better that you don't come. Try to be very clear on that. It's very helpful. Because you see people say, probably it's not my place. Yeah,
exactly. Well, I mean, that's of course, that works with employees, but it works with customers as well. I mean, if you realize you cannot please everybody, that's fine, and then you can be clear about it. And that's good for customers. And
I love people that want to leave a mark in their life. They are not coding, but they are creating like a poetry when they are coding. I like people like that.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, sure. I have a lot of fantastic poets over there.
So how do you bring that back to business then?
Sorry?
How does that translate back to business, poetry?
No, not like a poetry, like I say that people sometimes make code, like a job. No, you have to make code like if you are written a poetry. And so this kind of people is looking for some that is special. And it's incredible how big it could be a difference with one guy with this capacity, another guy without. This one can make the job of 10 of these in the same time. And the quality at the end is better. So exactly. I like people like this. I'm looking for people that is not making a job.
Exactly. They turn it into an art. There's pride behind it. They think ahead.
You need to have a motivation for doing special things. Everyone is different, but you have to do something inside of you for try to be the best in the job that you are doing. And I love people like this. And try to put all of them together because they need to stay together to outperform.
Well, I mean, that's a nice bridge to my next question, which is kind of connected to the book that I wrote. I wrote the book, The Remarkable Effect, which is about the 10 traits that define remarkable software businesses. So what do you steer for beyond the two things that you just mentioned, to create software that people start talking about and keep talking about?
There are two things that you need. First of all, the wow effect on something.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that, oh, it's changing my way of doing my business. When they feel that something is really changing, in, you know, maybe I'm saving time. Oh, maybe my customers are becoming incredibly happy. Or maybe, oh, my sales are growing faster than I never said. This is something that makes you really happy to start talking about a company.
Exactly, this transformational side of things, exactly.
Sure, you have to feel a, such kind of transformation in your business.
Exactly, it's not about the
when you feel well. That, we have done a good job because we have really created value for them. And so they want to pay, they want to talk about you, and they want to stay with you for a long time.
Exactly. So how do you go about making sure that, that every release that you kind of bring out, there's an element of that to make that stronger?
Okay, what we do is that I say to my product manager, there are two rules that they always do follow. First of all, listen to your customers a lot because they told you what they need. But 30% of what we do have to be imagination of what we imagine that sooner or later they will need. Because we have to be a solver of problems that the other guys are explaining us, but they have to be like a, you know, anticipator in solving problems that we can see better than our customers sometimes, and first of all, before. And so this is the rules that we follow. And after any release, we try to understand what is, you know, what had more wow effect, what not, and we learn doing this job. But these rules, these two rules are the most important rules, in my opinion, in how we have to manage a product journey.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. My last question, looking at the time as well, from your entrepreneurial journey, and I saw that you've started a number of companies, three successful exits so far, I saw. And then this one, of course, is in the making. What would be a do and what would be a don't that you'd like to share with tech entrepreneurs that aspire something similar?
If I'm thinking about my life, first of all, feel your passion. Don't manage, don't plan too much. Feel your passion, because where there is passion, sooner or later it will be success. And second thing is, even if you are a smart guy, even if your company is done by smart people, sooner or later during the journey, there will be some horrible days or some big difficult. And as smart as you are, as experienced as you are, for sure there's a lot of days I say, oh, I don't have any idea how to solve this problem. And you feel like a, you know, a baby the first day of school because you don't have any idea. You don't find anything in your pocket to solve. You know, you don't have any tool in that moment. And everything looks like dark. But what I have learned that in that moment, you have to be like, you know, people sometimes have trust in God, trust in something. You have to trust in the capability of your team to find a solution, even if when it's not clear where the solution is. And many times, don't be panic in that moment, because probably your mind needs some time to put all together main different factors and to find a solution that in that moment is not clear. So in any company journey I've done, I've seen some days like that. And what I can tell you that you have to be resilient and be comfortable that you need a bit of time more maybe to find the right solution, but the solution is always somewhere.
Agree. Yeah, it's finding that first step to get going and then testing it out, whether it works, yes or no. And that's where the connection with the customer comes in place again. I like your style around that. You know, the patience, the resilience, don't panic. Think about it for a while. So thanks for sharing all of this. The time has flown by. Where can people go to find out more about Zakeke or to say hi to you?
Oh, sure. The simplest way is going to www.techica.com. Yeah, it's that place where they can find all the information they want. There's a lot of tutorials online on YouTube. Yeah, they can learn more about the product. And for sure, they can book a demo if they need to understand more with Apple. One of our sales guy that they will be happy for sure to share all the knowledge inside the platform and tell them, maybe help them to explain how they can outperform their business starting using Zagiga.
Good. And to shout out to you, LinkedIn?
Oh, sure. They can reach me on LinkedIn. My profile is here, Angelo Coletta. It's very simple to say I'm the tall guy. And everyone is who want to write to me, written me. Yeah, I will introduce the right guy in the company to talk with them and provide the solution they need. Sure. I'm an app for everyone. Yeah. I try to give an answer to anyone.
Good. Well, thank you very much. Fascinating to talk to you. I like your approach to things, your positive mindset about it, and building something that's remarkable. Inspired me from the first minute I talked to people in the first place. So thanks for that.
Thanks a lot for inviting us, Sam. You know, thanks a lot again to all the guys that are listening to your podcast.
And this ends my conversation with Angelo, and I hope you enjoyed it. And if so, please leave a review on iTunes. And if it inspired you, please share it with other tech entrepreneurs on a mission that you have in your network. Other than that, thank you for tuning into this podcast. I had the honor to speak to Angelo Coletta, co-founder and CEO of Zakeke. As said, the goal that I have in this podcast is twofold. Firstly, to inspire new forms of value creation by sharing compelling ideas and stories about the potential we can unlock when technology and people blend in the right way. And secondly, share experiences from tech entrepreneurs like you about what is required to create a remarkable software business and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so. Before I close, I have two more comments to make. If you know other tech entrepreneurs on a mission that have a story worth sharing, please send me an email at ton.dobby@valueinspiration.com. Building the momentum all starts with revealing the ideas. And that starts with you. And if you want to know more about my book, or you're interested in joining the Remarkable Effect tribe, please visit my website at www.valueinspiration.com. Thanks for tuning in. And you could do me a big favor by rating the podcast on iTunes or provide me with your feedback directly. I'll see you shortly on a new episode.